Good morning and welcome to Acts 2. We are so thankful that each and every one of you are here with us this morning. Man, I don't know about you guys, but after that that opening set there, I'm a little bit fired up. No? Nobody else? Okay, just me? That's okay. Hopefully I will get you fired. No, I am not. Just another chance? Hey, in just a little bit, we're going to have three more songs, so we have an opportunity to get fired up again. But anyway, welcome to Acts 2, everybody. For those that might be new here, for those that might be visiting for first, second time, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Mike Gokenauer, and I am lucky enough to be the pastor here at Acts 2 Church. And gee whiz, every now and then I just run into those moments where I just kind of like, I got goosebumps and the hair's kind of sticking up, and man, that's what I'm getting so far this morning out of those first couple songs. I am excited for all of us to be here. Well, today, for those that may not know, today is actually all across the United States, all across the nation, there are churches, thousands and thousands of churches, participating in National Back to Church Sunday. And that happens to be today. And so we are thankful that that all of you are here today. And we are embarking on a journey over the next few weeks, and we are going to be talking about what it means to be together and what being together is going to supply us and provide us, and how we were actually built to be together. And so we are thankful that you're here. In the seat backs in front of you, for those that might be here for the first or second time, there is a card that's called the Connect card. We just ask that you take a moment to fill those out. A little bit later during service, we're going to take communion, and there's a couple baskets on either side of me. We just ask that you drop those cards off in the baskets, because we want you to have a chance to get to know us a little bit better, and we want to get to know you as well. And so just take a moment to complete those and drop those off in those baskets. As I mentioned, we are participating in National Back to Church Sunday. What was really cool, what I really loved about being a part of this, is that there are churches from different denominations, different backgrounds, different areas, urban, rural, just all over, that are participating in this. And it's a national movement to try to talk about what the purpose of the church is. The purpose of the church is a place to love, a place of hope, a place of peace for our friends, our neighbors, our communities, our family members, and ultimately the world. And so I'm excited to partner up and see this played out all across the nation, because our nation is a pretty dark place right now. Our world, if you follow the news very much, all you see is the junk that is happening all over the place. And this is needed more so than ever. Before we get into the message today, let's just take a moment to pray for the Holy Spirit to stir within us. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give thanks for this moment where we're able to come together, worship, and praise you. We give thanks for the awesome songs that the worship band played, the energy that's just surrounding us right now. God, we pray for the Holy Spirit to stir within our hearts. Let your truth speak to us, and let the Holy Spirit stir within us for us to apply this right away. Father, we thank you for everything that you provide us, and we are thankful that we are all gathered here today. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. And so we're kicking off this series today called Together. I mentioned a little bit about it, what it is. Is about. It's the theme that we're going to have over the next 4 weeks. You know, and when I thought about this theme of togetherness, or the theme of being together, I thought of Legos. I don't know if anybody noticed, but in the in the back of the room, there's a table that has some Legos on it. I'm going to use this a little bit in today's message. So hopefully you had a moment to check it out, but I thought of these Legos. You know, I didn't think of Legos in the sense that most parents might be thinking of Legos, you know, the spawn of Satan in the middle of night when you're walking to the bathroom and you step on one, you know, or the maybe trying to sneak a late night snack. No, not at all. I thought about my niece and nephew. Their names are Abby and Tyler, and they are Lego enthusiasts. So much so that, you know, Abby's the oldest, and she's in seventh grade, and Tyler is in fifth grade, and these guys still love their Legos. You know, they haven't completely gone away from them yet. Two video games, you know, even though the transition is inevitable, but they just love their Legos so much that they have entire villages all over their basement that has created moments for giant tubs. My brother and sister-in-law are working on moving to Gretna here soon, and they've got these tubs and tubs and tubs of Legos. It's incredible. It kind of spurred it within them the thought that they should start sharing with family and friends to stop buying Legos because they've got just an extreme amount of them. But I thought of these guys and what it means to be together. And the reason why I thought of Legos is because really, when you look at an individual Lego, it doesn't seem like much, does it? Like, when you look at an individual Lego, you know, there's not much purpose to it. There's really not a whole lot that you can do with it. But when you get a group of them together, you can build some pretty awesome things. This morning I was talking Legos with some of our members and some of our elders, and, you know, I was hearing grown men with a wish list of Legos, a wish list, of course, of the Millennium Falcon. You know, any Star Wars enthusiasts here? All right, like three, okay. You know, but these things are amazing. Like, he was just kind of sharing with me a little bit about one of the newer sets of the Millennium Falcon and how many hours it took adults to put this thing together. And how much it's increased in value. And so when I thought about this togetherness, like, you can create something beautiful like the Millennium Falcon to share with all your friends and family when they're used together, multiple pieces being used together. You know, together, as he was kind of sharing that story, like, it made me think about what the value of the company that created Legos is worth. It's billions of dollars. You know, I think he was sharing with me that the newest or one of the newer sets of the Millennium Falcon, you know, you could buy for $500, $600, $700 or something, and a few years later, it's now worth thousands and thousands of dollars. It's incredible to me, you know, because there's not very many things that increase in value like that just over a few years. But that's exactly what I thought about in this togetherness, and I thought about, how does that apply to the church? How does that apply within a body of believers? You know, and I kind of started looking back at what the early church, we just came off a series where we were reading through the book of Acts together, where the early church was getting started and the early focus of the church, and oh man, what a perfect opportunity to build on what we've been talking about and look at this in light of something that's very relevant within our culture today, like Lego. But that is the whole purpose of this. The individual pieces, if you look at the little house that was built for me on a whim this morning, there are pieces of different colors, there are pieces of different shapes, sizes, lengths, all built together for a tiny house. You know, and when I look around the room, and when you look around at churches, that is exactly what we should be looking at as well. We are all individual pieces of different sizes, different colors, different shapes, different backgrounds, that when we come together, we can build something beautiful, something that is absolutely priceless. As I prepare these messages, you know, I often find out really that God's trying to speak to me more so than what he's trying to speak through me. And so this was a great reminder, you know, and a fun visual, you know, of course, But man, it got me thinking. Just coming off this series about the book of Acts, it got me more thinking. Like, what is it that our church should look like? What is it that is going to make a difference in the world? And really, it is this idea, this concept of us coming together. Us coming together and being what we were created to be. You know, we were created to be in community together. From the very, very beginning, of from the book of Genesis, when Eve was created, we were created to be in community together. And that's a lot about what this is about. Our journey here that we're going to be going through the next few weeks is a journey that's going to go through the book of Ephesians. It's a book that has a lot of stuff. It's a relatively short book. There's only 6 chapters, but it is a book packed with information, packed with direction, packed with guidance on what the church should look like. You know, and I found it even more inspiring, because here we are, we're coming off a series of Acts, and here we're talking about a letter that Paul wrote from prison, a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he started on his missionary journeys. And as I was tying the things together, this letter is actually a letter to the church that is talked about in Acts chapter 18. So if you followed with us in the our Acts reading plan, when you read Acts chapter 18, this is talking about the time that Paul spent in Ephesus and was starting the church. And then later on, he wrote a letter then back to the church, which is the book of Ephesians. And so this book of Ephesians was written roughly 30 years or so after Jesus had died and resurrected. So just to provide some context into what it is that we're going to be walking through over these next few weeks, we need to understand some of these things. So this particular letter was written roughly 30 years after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. As I mentioned, it's a fairly short book. It's only about 6 chapters. But there's a great deal of direction that's provided to us that are wanting to pursue Christ and pursue what it is that he taught us. You know, and so this context to keep in mind. Ephesus was a city that was a port city. You know, so it was right on the shores. It was a bustling city that was a lot of visitors coming and going, and it was a place where a lot of trading and things like that were happening. And it was this port city. Well, keep in mind that in this time, you know, when this letter was written, there was no technology, there was no mass emails, there was no social media to share information. And so this letter, how people learned about it, how people were able to take the direction of Paul, what they did was they gathered together, someone would read the letter, and then they would kind of wrestle through the ideas that Paul was sharing with them together. They would take the warnings that Paul was writing to them about, you know, here in a city that had a whole bunch of diversity, a lot of coming and going, a lot of various spiritual beliefs that were contradictory to Jesus. And here they came together, read through this letter, and just kind of wrestled together through what Paul was trying to teach them. In 2019, we call those home groups. But here we are talking about early church displaying that same model to us right now. And so does anybody know where Ephesus is? Okay, that's good, because, you know, in order to share context, I built that into the sermon. Isn't that great? But anyway, Ephesus, if you were to Google Ephesus, where is Ephesus? Right. Nice. Thank you for opening your Bible. So Ephesus, if you were to Google Ephesus today, you would probably, I think when I did it, I found a restaurant in Texas. That was kind of weird. But Google would not tell you exactly where Ephesus actually was located. So it was actually modern-day Turkey. So what we know as Turkey today was where Ephesus was. This port town, as I kind of mentioned, that was really one of the most important Greek cities because of all the trading, and it was the one of the most important trading cities within the Mediterranean area. Ephesus became a place that was just growing and expanding, and there was a lot of activity. And when I try to relate it to a place that we would know today, I think of port cities within the United States, like Los Angeles and San Diego or New York, like things like that. Like, these are big, bustling metropolises. But Ephesus was one of those places. And the second half of the book is really where Paul starts giving us the application. If you've ever read the book of Ephesus from start to finish, the first three chapters are really kind of going back to the foundation of the gospel story. And then the second half is where the application comes in, the practical response to living to what Paul is trying to teach us through God's grace and salvation given to us through Jesus. And so these next 4 weeks, we're going to be using that as a guideline, a map, to kind of journey through what this looks like. So today we actually are going to start with, together we find peace. And the scripture we're going to be looking at today comes from Ephesians chapter 2. It's going to be verses 17 through 22. And it says, He came, in reference to Jesus. It says, He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in with God lives by His Spirit. Do you ever find yourself desiring for a place to belong? Do you ever find yourself kind of feeling this desire, this push of wanting to be a part of something? I see this all over, especially when I was working in the business world. There's cliques at work. There's cliques at, your local hangouts. There's cliques even within the church sometimes. Do you ever find yourself desiring to be a part of those? Wanting to be a part of those things or be a part of them? See what Paul is saying. It says the body of Christ, the church, that is our place to belong. That is our place of belonging, rooted in the restoration and the unity that Jesus brings. See, Jesus is for everybody. Jesus came and died for everybody. Now, not everybody's going to believe in that, and that's where there's sometimes some separation. But a place like Acts 2 was created, the church was created for a place to belong. Paul takes us right to this issue of togetherness in Ephesians chapter 2. All about unity. It's all about you being united in the mission of sharing Jesus with our friends and family and community. It's all about the mission of growing and pursuing Jesus. It's all about being united and coming together and reading these letters and wrestling through what God is trying to teach us through Scripture. The foundation is this unity and the grace that Jesus gave us. We are united in this understanding that we're all sinners saved by grace. We're all in the same status. We are all created equal in the sense that we are sinners in need of this grace. We are sinners in need of a salvation. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And we receive that through Jesus. We receive that gift, that same gift that's for each and every one of us, no matter what we've done or what we haven't done or what our backgrounds look like. We are all in need of the same Savior. And this grace, this peace, it's all a gift from God. If we back up just a little bit, the call to worship verses this morning was Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Meaning that we're not going to earn our salvation by working for it. We're not going to have a checkbox that we can check off that, you know what, I've done this task and I've done this task and now I can be saved. No, we are saved by the grace of God, the grace given to us through Jesus. And when we recognize that there's not some sort of task sheet for us to be able to earn our salvation, when we realize that it's grace that has saved us, it forces us to open our eyes. It forces us to open our arms. It forces us to open our hearts in gratitude. You know, I think about that song, Amazing Grace, that he even saved a wretch like me. That if I was the only sinner on earth, his son Jesus still would have came to save me. Amazing to reflect on. It's powerful and humbling to think about. We've all been there. We've all messed up. We've all done things that we're not necessarily proud of. We've all been through a journey that isn't all rainbows and unicorns. And we've all been offered the same gift of grace, the same gift salvation through our faith in Jesus. And see, this idea of unity, this idea of togetherness, it, in light of grace, grace doesn't exclude. Grace doesn't deny somebody. Grace is actually something that brings us together in unity. And so Paul, in this letter, Paul goes on and he talks about how Christ provided a purpose. He provided us a direction, a purpose and unity to the apostles, to the disciples, to unify a great division that was happening within the world at the time. And it was the division between the Jews and the Gentiles. Jesus came and unified those two people groups. And as he was sharing through the disciples, like, the salvation is for anybody. How many people here are 100% Jewish? Okay, good. So there are no hands, right? Which means that we would all fall in the Gentile category. Which makes me even more humble in reflecting on why we needed Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, Gentiles would still not be God's children. By coming to save the world, all the people of the world, Jesus had to break down that separation, had to break down the barrier, the walls, the divisions, and he bridged one of the biggest separations that has ever existed. The separation between God and man that was created by sin. Jesus built that bridge for all humans to be connected with God. And in doing away with that separation, what he did is he brought this real everlasting peace. And I know that's hard to believe because our lives are so busy, like we have so much turmoil that always surrounds us. We have so much anxiety and depression and things that just try to wear us down and break us. It's hard to believe that what Jesus brought was a peace. And that's what we're talking about today. Together, we can be united in peace. The door to peace is open through all of us, through our faith in Christ. And see, in this letter, in Ephesians, if we continue on in Ephesians chapter 2, what Paul is talking about is he's very clear about this peace and unity, about how we find this peace when we are together in a unified effort, in a unity in Jesus alone. You know, but it doesn't necessarily mean that within uniform uniformity means sameness. Like, it doesn't mean that we all are going to look the same, we're all going to act the same, we're all going to have the same personalities. No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that we all have the same gift of grace. And so we can be united, no matter what our backgrounds, no matter what we look like, no matter what we do for a living, no matter what things we've done in the past, we are united in this peace that Christ gives us. You know, going back to some of the context, you know, this port city, because there was so much coming and going, Ephesus was a town that had so much diversity, had so much just different backgrounds, different walks of life coming together all within the city. And so Paul is writing about to the church in Ephesus about some of the things that they're going to encounter as they are a part of this town with so much diversity, so much division, so much different things that would ultimately create more separation. And so Paul is talking a lot about unity in this, because no matter where you come from, we're all saved by Jesus, our faith in Jesus. And the goal was to unite in the midst of all those things that could separate people. The united moment of all humans pursuing Christ. And that should be our goal today as a church. Here we are in a community that you know, may not have a lot of racial diversity, but it has a lot of you know, people coming from different backgrounds and that sort of thing. That should still be our goal today. Be people of unity, people of grace, people of peace. I struggled a little bit as I thought about this too. You know, because here we are with the access to social media, you know, the access of all these different blogs or news sources that that are extremely biased from one side to the other, and there's propaganda all over the place, and the world is trying to teach us to be divided. Everything that gets put out there to fill our brains seems to be methods to divide us. You know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, or I like guns or I don't like guns, or you know, whatever it is, there are things that are constantly trying to beat into us division. And so I struggled a little bit, because it seems so much easier to talk about than to actually do, right? It seems so much easier said than done. Paul is crystal clear that Christ himself is our peace. It's not a thing. It's not a feeling. It's a person. Christ was our peace. Christ is our peace. And we find peace in that relationship with Jesus. We find peace in growing our relationship with others in Jesus. And we experience it through the fruit of God's Spirit, as we see in Galatians chapter 5. You know, peace isn't something that we create, but really it's something that we can live out through our faith with the Holy Spirit. Peace is the presence of God in His people, the presence of God in us through the Holy Spirit. Peace is something that enables us to be united. Peace is something that is used to remind each other and the world that surrounds us that Christ is the source of peace. When anxiety and fear, when those things, depression, those things seem to be the strongest in our minds, when the division seems to be the strongest, we can be reminded and we can be a living reminder to each other of the peace that we experience with Christ. Now, I know, in my own personal testimony, when I fully surrendered my life to Christ, and I was in my most broken moment, and I just prayed that, Jesus, if you show me a way to reconcile relationships, if you show me a way, a better way of doing life, I promise to surrender to you. And I did. I felt this peace come upon me. I felt like, I had a whole family of elephants sitting on my chest and my shoulders, and then as I prayed this, it just felt like they were lifted off. But wouldn't it be nice that once we find or felt that peace that, that was in, like, that we would never feel any kind of turmoil, that, finding peace was a one-time event? Wouldn't that be nice? That's not how life works. That's not how the world wants us to be. The world constantly is trying to take our peace. The world is trying to constantly remove peace out of our lives because the world is controlled by Satan. He wants us to be in turmoil. He wants us to be divided. He wants us to be butting heads with each other. He doesn't want us to interlock and walk together. We're constantly faced with this unpeaceful world. We're constantly faced to things that want to create division, even right here within a body of believers, even within the church. And so we need these reminders of His peace that lives and dwells within us. We need these reminders of coming together and wrestling through what Scripture is trying to teach us together, just like they did in the early church, just like they were doing with this letter that was written from Paul. We need these opportunities to go beyond emotion, to go beyond feelings, and just be united in this peace that is never changing, this peace that is always present within us, the Spirit of God. See, Jesus knew all the hardships that we were going to be facing. He knew all the hardships that the disciples were going to encounter. He knew that as they tried to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, that they were going to be encountering moments where they're going to be thrown in jail, they're going to be facing opposition. He knew this. And that's why He spoke to them about this unity. That's why He spoke to them about this peace. In John 14:26-27, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you this world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, Jesus knew. And that's why He wanted to remind His disciples of this peace. And just as Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit dwells within us today, is continuously a source of peace for us. And we need all the reminders. This week I was reminded several times through various text messages of just asking how to pray for me, moments within our small group. I was reminded of this peace and unity, that we're all in it together. In Scripture, it talks about sharing each other's burdens. That's unity. And when we do that, we find peace because we're in it together. We're not trying to be on an island alone, battling life. That's not what Christ calls us to be. That's not what we were created for. We were created for community. And we all need these reminders, this encouragement that I received. We all need these kind of things, the support, and that's where the church comes in. That's where the church comes in. Paul closes Ephesians chapter 2 with this. says, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Built together to become a dwelling in which God lives in his Spirit. Like the Legos back on the back table. Individually, they're not much. Individually, it's easy to lose one, throw it away, be discarded. But together, we fit together to become something spectacular. We fit together to become something that is priceless. We come together to become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We come together as the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are filled and enabled with the peace of Christ. When we come together to live, when we come together to worship, we do so in unity because the sole focus on Jesus alone. When we do that and walk together and focus solely on Jesus, the source of peace, we become much greater than that one individual. We become something so much bigger and so much more beautiful than that one individual. Together we encourage and support one another, just like they were doing as they're reading the letter that Paul wrote. Together we don't just go to church. We are the church. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. We come before you humbly in the constant reminders by the people that you place in our lives of our need for a Savior. We are so thankful for the reminders, the support, and the encouragement that we receive through community, through coming together as humans and struggle and wrestle and discuss and work through our various struggles that we might have, the various things that you're trying to reveal to us through Scripture. And God, we are so thankful for that. We are thankful for our sense for belonging and having a place to belong to. God, within this belonging, may we feel the love, the hope, and the peace of your Son, Jesus. May we feel this through the other's actions, the people that are sitting next to us, the people that we are surrounded by. Father, we just thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Without your Son, Jesus, God, we would not be here. We would not have the purpose that you provide us. We would not have the message of grace. We would not have this forgiveness and salvation that honestly we don't deserve, but you still freely give us. Father, it's because of your Son, Jesus, we're here this morning, and we praise him. We worship him. And Father, we pursue him together. We pray all these things in his holy name. Amen.